It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Hello, beautiful difference makers. You are loved. I have full faith in you that you are a world changer, that you are the light of the world, and that you're going to just make a beautiful difference in this one day. Let it be extravagant. Let it be bold. I love you guys. Bye.
Welcome in, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 12 into the Zone of the Zone Sports Network. You know, some days life is just good. And then you get a text from somebody that invites you to go golfing, and life gets even better. And then you find out where they've invited you to go play. And I don't think life could be any better for me right now. I just got a text. From Kevin White, who's going to join us here in just a moment, telling me that he's got an open tee time with him at 3 o'clock, and I will be joining him on the course at Alpine Country Club. And my day just went from a 9, 9.5, because I'm in a great mood. I mean, I'm probably 80% turkey right now, maybe 85% turkey. So I'm already in a great mood. But, man, it is a beautiful, gorgeous, absolutely stunning day outside. Perfect weather, snow-capped mountains. And I can't think of anything better to do than be on a golf course somewhere with Kevin White shooting some golf. And, by the way, Lloyd, I kind of wanted to start with this with you. I think that the match that's coming up today, 1 o'clock tee time, it's the match 3 or the third match that has been put on. It's kind of involved Phil Mickelson. It's had Tiger Woods as a part of the first two. But the match coming up today, and I'm going to be recording it. It's on TNT. It tees at 1 o'clock. So for everybody that's out there driving around right now, I want you to put this in your books, because I do believe that this is going to be entertainment, live sporting entertainment at its finest. So Lloyd, I did a little bit of research on how this match is going to be played. And I want you to tell me who you think is favored. Now, Vegas is favoring Peyton Manning and Steph Curry. They're minus 170 right now. But I want to kind of go through this, Lloyd, and I want to see who it favors for you, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Give it to me.
So this is called Pinehurst format. It is a alternate shot, or it is a kind of an alteration of an alternate shot format. So what's going to happen is each of the golfers will tee off. So Peyton and Steph, and then Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson. Those are your teams. Okay, so you tee off the box, and then you go to the other person's shot. So Phil will go to Charles' shot. Charles will go to Phil's shot. They each take that second shot off of each other's drive shot. And then they go and they alternate from that point. So let's say Phil has a really good drive and Charles kind of, you know, chunks it down the fairway. Well, at that point, Phil can come and pick up on that chunk on a par 5. Or let's say Charles is just off the green, or Charles is on the green, then Phil gets that alternate shot. So after the second shot, Lloyd, you play the best position of the second shot, but you alternate from that point. Is this making sense?
So both people hit off the tee box. Both people. You take the best, no matter what. You don't have to choose a certain amount of Charles drives or Phil's. It can be Phil all the way.
Okay. So, yes. So, to an extent, so what happens after? You could take every one of Phil's drives, But what happens is Charles is going to hit Phil's drive.
The second shot, no matter what.
Yes, no matter what.
And on the other side, if you were to take Charles' drive, Phil would have the second shot.
Exactly. So that changes things a little bit, Lloyd. Like I said, this is a kind of a an alternate shot. So now Phil is going to have to clean up because Phil is going to have to play off of Charles Barkley's tee shot. And I was trying to look for Charles Barkley's handicap, and I can't find it.
I don't think it registers.
No, it's bad.
So like it's so bad that I don't think it registers.
Steph Curry is a 2. I want everybody to understand that Steph Curry is nearly a scratch golfer. Now, you're not going to overcome Phil Mickelson. Phil is, even though he's not at the top of his game, Phil is 10 times the golfer that any of the other three on that course is going to be. But there's only so much that Phil's going to be able to clean up. So he has to play the second shot on every one of Charles Barkley's tee shots. He can never play consecutive shots of his own throughout the entire 18 holes. He can never play back-to-back shots. So I don't know. So the thought is, Lloyd, they'll probably end up with, on par fours, they'll probably end up with Charles playing Phil's tee box, because I don't think at any point Charles is going to have a tee box that Phil can clean up that well. Maybe, though.
I don't know. This is almost feels impossible to pick. Like, I don't know. I gotta imagine that Phil has been working with Charles for the thought of this coming up. They've been probably working. I mean, Charles is bad. He's really bad. So I gotta imagine, but if he could just maybe fix his irons a little bit, then I think he got something. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I would ever put a driver in Charles' hands. I would never take his drive. I just wouldn't. You're not going to get the distance. You're not going to be able to fix that part of it. But if you can get an iron to where he can maybe pepper that up, a short iron, I think and Phil's short game is unbelievable. It's probably the best in the on the PGA.
So, Phil, I mean, if you get Phil within 20 yards, 30 yards,
you're
going to
give Charles a short iron. I think I'm going to still go. I'm going to go Charles and Phil. Because if you just put a short iron, even if you – I got him at – like I said, they probably fixed – not fixed it completely, but there's probably been a little bit of help with his irons.
That's where I'm going. I've been with Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley throughout this thing. But I got to tell you that I don't know. It has been a long time since I've been this excited about a sporting event on TV. Okay, so maybe I'm a little bit geeky. Maybe I'm on my own here because there's probably not a lot of golfing fans out there that are as much in love with the sport as I am, or people that just think that Charles Barkley and everything he says is hilarious and that Peyton Manning and his trash talk is some of the best. But I think this event coming up at 1 o'clock on TNT, this is something that, you know, if you're out there driving around for Black Friday deals and, you know, you're trying to run off some of that post-Thanksgiving meal, make sure you go click the DVR and get yourself ready to watch the match because it really is going to be a blast. By the way, I was trying to put all the things together today, and it is hard to think of all the sports that are going on, either things that happened over the last day and a half, or things that are going to be coming up this weekend. So just to kind of pull the curtains back, when I prepare for the show, I start by listing, you know, all the different sporting events that are to come this weekend, all the different sporting events that went down yesterday, and then I kind of go through that list and I try to build off that list. My list includes Utah playing Washington tomorrow, USU with a win over New Mexico that we're going to talk about with Kevin White here in just a second, BYU men's basketball with wins over Westminster and New Orleans last night, USU men's basketball 0-2, bad, ugly loss to South Dakota, and then they've got a loss against VCU. They are going to be playing again today at 2 o'clock. I think you can see that on ESPNU. You've got the Mike Tyson fight versus Roy Jones that's coming up tomorrow. You've got the match 3 that I was just talking about, and actually I'm going to kick this thing off and talk to Kevin White about it for a minute. That's at 1 o'clock today. The Pac-12 had their ninth cancellation, USC versus Colorado. Lamar Jackson on a positive case. Gonzaga had a couple of guys bumped out but beat Kansas as a number one. This is just I know this is like the day of all sports. Like, we had to come on, and we had to be on air for today because it is jam-packed. To talk about this Utah State-New Mexico game with me is the color analyst for the Utah State Aggies, Kevin White. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Good, Hans. It's nice to be talking to you after a victory.
Oh, my gosh. The first one of the year. How did that feel to get that monkey off your back?
By the way, I just have to say, though, we got to calm Twitter world down. I know Scotty G is 0-6 so far this year, football and basketball. And there's a lot of talk out there about DJ being 1-0 and should we make the switch. It's like a quarterback controversy. Everybody just calm down. Scotty G is the voice of the Aggies. Let's make no mistake about it.
Yeah, Scotty's not returning calls or texts for Lloyd and I right now, Kevin. So
no, I called him on my way in. Nothing.
We're going to be real careful about this. Because when he left, Kevin, he told me, he said, you watch. You know, there was some thoughts that it would be Bowler, but DJ ended up in the booth, and he said, you watch. They're going to call a win, and everybody is going to pile on me. But what I don't think he expected, Kevin, was to go to South Dakota and have this Utah State Aggies basketball team go 0-2. That's unbelievable.
You know, a young group, you find out just how much you miss Sam Merrill down the stretch. I mean, they had a 10-point lead on Wednesday night with about 10 minutes to go, and that's the time when Sam controls the basketball, and they just have some young guys out there right now. It'll take them a little bit of time. It's almost like the Jazz when they piece a few pieces together and it takes them a little bit of time to gel. I think Craig Smith will get that group righted very quickly. But, yeah, you kind of saw that they missed Sam. But, you know, I feel bad for Scotty. You know, hold up in Sioux City, South Dakota, and we're calling a win against New Mexico. And, you know, DJ, it was great to work with DJ, a total pro. Found out about it the day before on Thanksgiving Day, was able to adjust his schedule and come and join me. And, you know, it was really nice to see the young guys especially step in last night, where you got a lot of turmoil on that Utah State football team. Some guys that want to enter the portal. Uncertainty, obviously, at the coaching staff and a new head coach possibly coming in. So, you know, just a lot of turmoil. To see them ratchet it up, especially in that third quarter when they put four scores on the board, something we haven't seen all season long, and Andrew Peasley getting his first start and throwing for 239 and running for a buck 18, and wow, an electric 62-yard run in the fourth quarter to seal that thing. It was pretty fun to watch.
Well, it was nice to see them get a win, and we'll kind of get into more details of that here in just a minute. But I do want to pick your brain. Lloyd and I were going back and forth about the match that's going to be teeing off at 1 o'clock on TNT today. And I know that you're a big golfing fan. I absolutely love the game. I'm excited because I think we've got ourselves an opportunity to get out on a course together for the first time. So I'm really pumped about that. But I want to get your thoughts here. So they're running the Pinehurst format, which is an alternate shot, but it's kind of a different alternate shot. So what they do, Kevin, is all four hit off the tee box. Peyton Manning and his teammate Steph Curry, and then Phil Mickelson and his teammate Charles Barkley. They all hit off the tee box, and then they hit each other's first shot off the box. So Phil will hit Charles' tee box shot. Charles will hit Phil's tee box shot, and they alternate until they get to the green, and then they pick the one ball that's on the green, and then they alternate from that point on putts. So Phil has to play every one of Charles' tee box shots, and Charles has to play every one of Phil's tee box shots. Steph Curry's a 2 handicap. I think that Peyton's like a 5. I think it was a 5 or a 6 the last time I remember watching the match. And then you've got Charles Barkley, who I guess doesn't even register a handicap because he's terrible. And then Phil. So you tell me, who's the favorite coming up at 1 o'clock today?
Oh, it's got to be Steph and Peyton. Because if Charles is teeing off on a par 5, and it's a 550-yard par 5, Phil's going to be hitting from 450 yards out for the second shot. So it's going to take him 4 to get to the green with Charles. So I got to believe that that Peyton and Steph. I saw Peyton play with he was matched up with Phil on the first one, I believe. Wasn't it?
Yes.
And Tiger and Tom Brady were matched up. But Steph can play, man. That guy, he's played on a couple of tour events with the what's that second tour called now? It used to be the Corn Ferry Tour, I believe. But he's played a couple of times on that tour. That guy can play, and you know Peyton's competitive and will be able to play. So I got to believe that this may be a route.
Really?
It may not even be close.
So you're thinking a Steph Curry, Peyton Manning route?
I've just watched Barkley hit enough balls with that triple quadruple hitch in his swing, and Phil's a good man for being able to sign up for that opportunity, because he's going to have to carry the load. As you know, you're going to watch him hit a second drive or second shot off the deck with his driver after Barkley gets it out there 110 yards on the drive.
You got to admit, though, man, this is loaded with entertainment. I'm so excited to watch this thing today.
It's not nearly going to be as much about the quality golf. It's going to be about the commentary. And you know Phil's going to give it to his partner for sure.
Yes.
Watch him tell Charles, hey, nice shot on that one when he hits like a 10-yard little duck hook off the tee.
We already know Phil has already been talking trash about his partner. I was listening. I actually watched their 30-minute introduction press conference a couple of days ago, and Phil said, yeah, we actually have the Barkley tees at this course, because Phil bought this course in Arizona that they're playing at because he loves it. And he said, we actually have the Barkley tee box. We call it the Barkley tee box at this course. He said, it's actually the women's tee box, but we call it the Barkley. And Charles laid back and was like, teammate, man, I thought we were in this together. It was really good.
It's gonna be fun to watch. Charles, he's always entertaining. No matter what he does, he's always entertaining.
Kevin White, the color analyst for the Utah State Aggies. So we talked about this win, Utah State getting a win over New Mexico. I want to talk about the head coaching search. With Frank Miley getting this win and, you know, maybe them being able to put some things together. I know that there are guys that are entering the transfer portal. There are guys that have been booted off the team. There are guys that are unhappy. But I think that Frank Miley continues to mold it and try to kind of rebuild the locker room and rebuild the structure of this team, the culture, as some call it. Does Frank Miley have a chance? Because I know he wants it, Kevin. Does he have a chance of being named the head coach?
I know he's going to get his opportunity. Even as we were speaking, he may be in meetings right now with John Hartwell and Jerry Bovee, and they may be talking a little bit about that. He certainly is the blueprint for what you want to build your foundation for Utah State football. It's a foundational developmental program. He's the blueprint. He's an LDS return missionary. He's Polynesian, and he's from the state of Utah, played at Alpha High School. He kind of fits the mold of how you want to build your foundation, especially in the trenches with the offensive and defensive lines. And so building off of that, the foundational piece, he understands that. He recruits the state. He's beloved by his players. And you got to believe that he's building a culture. You know, even as we speak tomorrow, perhaps he's going to sit the kids down and say, you know what, which ones of you don't want to be here? If you don't want to be here, get out right now. You've already seen some opt out, and he's going to sift through that process even more. And what you saw last night was a bunch of young guys that meshed with the upperclassmen. You had great performances from guys like Shaq Bond and Nick Henniger and Carson Terrell and, you know, some of those senior guys. But then you had young guys step in, including his nephew, Keena, that stepped in for Kevin Metzenheimer at the middle backer position, blocked a kick, had a scoop and score in the third quarter, just a freshman out of Salt Lake City. And, you know, there's the blueprint. Will he get an opportunity to get the job? In my humble opinion, I don't think so. As much as I would love to see it, I think that John Hartwell has got a lot of interest from across the country, from sitting head coaches at the FBS level that have expressed interest, to coordinators at Power Fives, to the NFL. And he's fielding a lot of phone calls right now from a lot of different places. And make no mistake, John Hartwell wants this to be his hire. It's not going to be anybody else's outside of the program, donors, faculty, staff. Nobody's going to really make this decision except for John Hartwell, along with President Noel Cockett. And in my opinion, as much as I would love to see it, because Frank is the glue for Utah State. He's been the associate head coach. He's the guy that understands the culture. I just think that John wants to go in a different direction and bring a new face in with new blood, with new energy. But I could be wrong. I know Frank's going to give it his best effort He's got a great presentation that he's actually shared with a handful of us that he wants to give to John and Jerry and to make his case to be that next head man. He's ready for it. It's his next step in his coaching career. But if he doesn't get it and they're not able to convince him to stay on the staff, he'll have no problem making a coordinator jump or a D-line position in a Power 5 league. He's done that before at Vanderbilt, and he'll land on his feet. And I'd love to see him get the opportunity, but I just don't know that he's going to be given that opportunity.
And I agree with you on that so much, Kevin. I want to see it. You know, I've had some really great football conversations with Frank, and you know, and I'm sure you're a lot the same. When you sit down and you talk to people about football, you have kind of an idea with the years that you've played and the coaches that I've been around and the programs that I've seen grow into the big things and the programs I've seen fail under coaches. You have ideas of what you would want from a head coach. And I've had multiple times to sit down with Frank or to talk to Frank, and he's got all those characteristics. You know, I actually believe that if he was completely given the reins of a football program and given the money and the backbone and the support, I actually believe that he would manage that program a lot like Kyle Whittingham has managed the University of Utah, with kind of a stern nature, a clenched jaw, a my way or the highway. And I believe that his my way or the highway would actually build a very strong program. I'm with you, Kevin. I think that Frank is an underrated piece in the football community. And I do hope he's given the shot, but I also believe you're right. I think that there are some other options out there that are pretty appealing. Do you believe that if it's not Frank Miley, do you believe that it will be an in-state hire or an out-of-state hire?
I think John wants to break ties with the state.
Okay.
If I'm being honest, I think he's looking at it. I think he wants to make a splash with a nice hire that has an offensive pedigree and background. This is my own opinion, but you know, I think that he would like to see that somebody that has somebody on the staff that understands the Utah State culture and the fact that it is a developmental program. You need to have that Polynesian connection and that return missionary part of your profile.
Yep.
But it's not absolutely required. I think he wants to find somebody that can come in and really shift the culture. And, you know, as much as it is a developmental program for players, it's been through the course in history a developmental program for coaches as well. And so I think he's looking at that and saying, I want to keep all of my options open. And but you know what, Frank, you're right. He won the bowl game 2 years ago as an interim head coach. He's now 1-1 as an interim head coach this year for Utah State. That guy, and as good a coach as he is, he's an even better person, a human being. Just, you don't get any better than that guy. And he just is a guy that I think that the kids will rally around. If he does not get the job, I think he may have a little bit of a trouble retaining some of your guys, especially some of those seniors that could have an opportunity to come back next year. It'll be very interesting to see if he does not get the job, how many will opt out. And are they in a complete rebuilding mode at that point? So, you know, a lot of drama. And John told us, DJ and I last night at halftime, that, you know, he expected to have some decisions made here in the next 7 to 10 days, especially with the early signing period coming up on December 16th. So a lot of movement will be happening over the next, you know, week or so.
Wow. Kevin White, the color analyst for Utah State football. Kevin, before we let you go, I do want to talk briefly about that third quarter against New Mexico. You mentioned Peasley going off in that third quarter. I know he had that late fourth quarter run, but what happened in the third quarter that put four touchdowns on the board for Utah State?
A couple of things. Defensively, they had a couple of three and outs. They had Nick Henniger got pressured, knocked the ball loose from Trey Hall, the quarterback from New Mexico, and Keenan Miley scooped and scored from 16 yards out. They had the block kick from Keenan Miley that set them up on a short field. And Peasley got hot. You know, he did a really nice job in the first half, and he had a chance. He was going in for a score in the second quarter, and he got hit as he was going out of bounds right at the pylon and fumbled it. And they called it a fumble and out of the end zone for a touchback. And that led New Mexico to a field goal right at the end of the first half that gave New Mexico a 13-6 lead at the half. They made some adjustments, and they came out really firing. They had a 36-yard post route to Justin McGriff for a score, a 26-yarder to Savon Scarver on the post route, almost an identical route combination. And Peasley did a terrific job looking off a safety and then coming back over the middle for both of those scores. They just got their confidence. And we haven't seen it all year long. Peasley went for 239 through the air. I mean, that's 100 yards more than they'd thrown for all season in any game. And then he ran for 118 himself, including that 62-yarder in the fourth quarter. But they gained some confidence. The defense set them up with a bunch of short fields and some three and outs. And, you know, they put it to Mexico there in the third quarter with 28 points. And they really, you know, they got that three-score lead. New Mexico was able to reel it back just a little bit. Then the defense stood up, and Peasley went on that electric 62-yard run in the fourth to seal it. And it was really a lot of fun and something they can build on. Obviously, the level of competition may not have been what they saw the first 4 weeks. And, you know, I think they'll really be tested against Air Force next Thursday night. But, you know, certainly a lot of confidence from the young guys with those older guys kind of leading the way.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate you as always. Can't wait to see you. And it looks like that might be sooner than later, which I'm really excited about. And I appreciate everything that you do for me, that you do for my good friend Scotty, and that you do for this Aggie program. We appreciate you.
Well, Hans, look forward to it. Looks like it's going to be great weather. So we're looking forward to that. And Scotty G, I know he's shivering out in Sioux City. We love him. He is the voice of the Aggies. Everybody just calm down. He is the voice of the Aggies. But it was great to call the game with DJ last night. It was a lot of fun.
I bet it was. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thanks, Ed.
There you go, color analyst for the Utah State Aggies, Kevin White, on the call last night. Utah State taking on New Mexico. Frank Miley getting his second win as an interim head coach with Utah State and doing it in grand fashion in the third quarter. It really was fantastic. I'm so excited to be here at Built Bar with Brenna again. Brenna, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was amazing.
Good.
How about you?
Yeah, it was really good.
Did you guys have a good one?
Yeah, just to be with family and like kind of forget about everything for a while.
So did you overeat at all or not?
Absolutely.
I was trying to think about this. It's so funny. My mind works, I think, different than most people's minds. But as I was driving into work today, I was trying to think, how much of my body is made up of turkey now?
Like,
because I ate a lot of turkey. The turkey turned out good. I'll bet I'm 10% turkey.
Yeah, we smoked ours.
Oh, did you?
Wow.
So good.
I couldn't leave it alone. It was the best thing ever. Never, I will never not smoke it now.
I'm glad. So is that the first smoked turkey you've had?
Yeah, yeah.
It's delicious.
It is so good.
Yeah, it adds a new element to that turkey. Great flavor. It was a great Thanksgiving, but it's going to get even better for people. Because I just had my first opportunity to bite into the white chocolate. This white chocolate cookies and cream bar is absolutely, hands down,
isn't it amazing?
My favorite Built Bar that I've had. And I think I've tried now 10, that was my 11th Built Bar flavor that I've tried.
And that takes the cake.
That is absolutely Johnny's over here. I know Johnny's had a couple of bites. What do you think of that Built Bar?
The white chocolate?
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's
my favorite one.
It's so creamy.
There is no way that this thing is healthy.
I know. That's
There's no way.
I know.
It doesn't seem like it should be.
No.
Because it straight up tastes like a cookie. Like,
it's incredible.
And that it has 17 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar, and 130 calories. Like, you have to double read the label. Because your brain is telling you, like, this is really rich and delicious, but it's crazy.
The last time you and I talked, Brenna, it was talking just about the flavor of this protein bar, of this health bar. I've had, you know, through my years playing the game and through my years of trying to stay somewhat in condition, I bet I've tried
almost every protein bar.
I'll bet 30 probably different protein bars, 30 health bars.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing comes close to the flavor,
and
to
the taste.
Yeah. To the texture, to the creaminess, to the, you know, real chocolate that's used on these bars. Nothing.
I know. It's crazy what they've done and what they're always changing and trying to innovate. It's so cool. So the white chocolate cookies and cream and the white chocolate salted caramel came out.
Oh, I have not tried the white chocolate caramel.
If you're a salted caramel fan.
Yeah, big time.
You'll love it.
And then I want to talk about the promos that we have going. Now, these promos are going to run until Monday, correct? And then Monday it changes.
To a Cyber Monday.
To the Cyber Monday.
Yep.
But right now, till Monday, you're going to get 25% off all products all weekend long. You're going to get the Candy Cane Brownie Bar, which I have not had that one either. Have you had it?
Not yet.
So the Candy Cane Brownie Bar, it actually has bits of candy cane on it with that amazing chocolate and brownie. Only 150 calories, 17 grams of protein in that bar. That's, you're going to get two free Candy Cane Brownie Bars. You're going to get 25% off all of your products when you go to BuiltBar.com and you use promo code ZONE.
Yep.
So go to promo or go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code ZONE, and try this amazing white chocolate cookies and cream protein bar. So, I got to tell you, so you made a little bit of change for me.
Oh, okay.
So last time you and I were talking, and I told you I was taking the Built Go about an hour to hour and a half after workout.
Yeah.
So I tried doing the pre-workout.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it? Could you tell a difference?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Energy
change. So now what I do a Built Go, which is the Built Go is kind of a gel pack. I mean, for the lack of a better explanation.
Yeah.
With great flavor, but it's jam-packed with some caffeine and some protein.
Yeah.
And now I follow that workout up with a Built Bar.
With a Built Bar.
And it's changed the game.
It's a great lineup.
Gives me the protein, gives me the energy. Mm-hmm. It sets me up to, you know, go for 3-4 hours without any hunger.
Yeah.
So I want you to go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code ZONE, try these amazing white chocolate cookies and cream bars. You can get those two free candy cane brownie bars and 25% off.
A steal of a deal.
It's a steal of a deal. Thanks, Brina.
Thank you.
We'll come back. We've got a lot to get to here on the show today. 97.5, 1280 The Zone of the Zone Sports Network.
Number one. The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network.
And it's about time, Lloyd, that you and I go out and get a spa of our own. Bullfrog Spa has unheard of Black Friday pricing. Custom order the Bullfrog Spa of your dreams and save up to $6,000 off MSRP on the popular A-Series models. You want a hot tub? You want it sooner? A limited number of inventory spas are available today only. That's today, Friday, November 27th. That are sure to go fast. Visit Bullfrog Factory stores in Salt Lake, Orem, Harriman, North Ogden, Layton, Springville, Logan, and Bluffdale to get that amazing pricing on those Bullfrog spas. All right, University of Utah kicking off against the Washington Huskies in Seattle coming up tomorrow. It's a 5:30 local kick. Frank Dolce and I will start your Utah pregame show tomorrow at 4:30. But kind of adjusting to their schedule, having lost the Arizona State game that was supposed to kick on Sunday, Utah's had to make a change of plans as they prepare for the Washington Huskies. And, Lloyd, I mentioned this, and we had the play-by-play voice of the Washington Huskies, Tony Castricone, who came on with us on Wednesday, I believe it was. And I had mentioned it. And Tony was waiting for the head coach of Washington to come on at a press conference. And I said to Tony, I believe that these two teams were understanding that the likelihood of Utah-Arizona State was slim to none. And I had believed that Utah had been preparing for Washington starting all the way back on Monday. I feel like they had some indicators that said that they'd be playing this Washington game.
There was definitely plenty of indicators that were saying that was probably not going to be Utah-Arizona State.
Right. So it was made clear yesterday that Washington did the same, that they had actually started preparing. This was what the Washington head coach said. He said, we rolled the dice and we prepared for Utah starting on Monday, because they had maybe some indicators as well. So, Lloyd, both these coaches and both these teams have had time to prepare for each other.
Which is good, because, I mean, you remember hearing Kyle Whittingham talk earlier in the year, well, when this came up, about possibly switching to another team and not wanting to do it if the other team has a benefit, has more time to prepare, has an advantage. So it sounds like there's not so much an advantage. So that's good. That's good news. Because if Washington had already been, you know, had a big advantage, I mean, it's almost pointless of playing if you got that big of an advantage. You know what I'm saying?
It is. If you had an extra week or so and you were under the understanding, it would make it difficult. Now, that happens in bye weeks where a team will have an extra week of preparation as a team is preparing for the other team. And sometimes you got to bob and weave and you just have to continue to adjust. And I actually think that Utah would have done that if that was the case. But, Lloyd, as you point out, they both had that same amount of time. And I think that that is a good situation for them. You know, we had a great conversation with Tony, and he talked about their quarterback, Dylan Morris, the freshman, and some of the weight that I thought that was being lifted off of Washington and that freshman quarterback by putting it in the hands of Newton or in the hands of Cameron Davis. They've actually got a few guys that can come out of the backfield, and they will push that running game. They'll push the running game. They love to push it. They love to road grade. They love to grind on the ground. So I expect Washington to come out and do everything they can to establish a run game against this University of Utah front. Utah's got to be ready for it. They've got to understand that that's exactly what Washington is going to come out and do, and they've got to be ready to adjust. You know, where Utah, Lloyd, has only had one game and Washington has two games, I think Washington definitely better understands their strengths. But I also think that Utah has a better understanding of what Washington is going to do. I think they very well know that Washington is going to come out and attempt to run that ball. And when you go back and you think about that USC game, Lloyd, that Utah-USC game, the one thing that I feel like Utah did extremely well was stop the run. I think that they have the capabilities to stop the run. I think that Devin Lloyd is a run-stopping linebacker. I think that this defensive front with Vianney Mawala kind of leading in the middle, I think that this defensive front with Putatau and Mawala is very stout. I think that Maxis Tuipai is really good at not as much pressing the edge, but covering from the outside shoulder of the offensive tackle to the numbers. I think he's really good at holding contain. So, as you look at this matchup, I think that Utah should be able to stop Washington's run. Lloyd, do you agree or disagree?
I would agree. But where I have the more questions for Utah, I was impressed with Utah's defense, considering what they lost. They should give Utah fans hope, considering how much they lost, because I mean, they held in there pretty, you know, nicely. Utah's offense put them, you know, their defense in some bad positions. So I'm more of my questions are on the offense.
Utah's offense definitely sputters at times. And you know, Washington's defense, I think, probably has a better understanding of what they do well. Washington so far is 2-0. Oregon State put up 21 points against Washington. And Arizona put up 27 points, but I do want to make a note of this, and it's a good point, Lloyd. All of the Arizona 27 points came in the fourth quarter. Washington actually held the lead. I think they were 24-0 at half, and at one point they were, I think it was 37-0 by the end of the third quarter, somewhere in that range, 37-38-0, whatever it was. And Arizona couldn't do anything. And I actually think that Grant Gunnell is a pretty good quarterback. And I actually think that Arizona is a decent offense. You know, there was a time where Arizona was playing USC, and they were pressing USC, put up over 20 points, and made some really good moves offensively. And Washington just stopped them at every opening. They stopped them. Stopped them in the run game, stopped them in the passing game. And then the fourth quarter, I think Washington switched out some personnel, made a couple of mistakes, had some youth on the field, and Arizona capitalized on it for just a minute. But Washington eventually getting the 44-27 win. I'm favoring Washington in this game because I think that Utah's offense, now trying to re-educate Jake Bentley, trying to figure out what their offensive line woes were, trying to figure out what they're going to do at the running back spot. We could see another change at that Utah running back spot. So I think that they're trying to make up their mind on some things offensively that's going to slow them down a little bit too much against Washington. So go ahead, Lloyd.
And I think, I think Kyle is well aware of some of the mistakes, some of the things that that worked kind of for Utah and that they went away from in that game against USC. I mean, I think he understands that maybe he needs to give Ty Jordan, I don't recall if he even touched the ball in the second half. He might have once. And I think Ty Jordan is a bright spot. He's a playmaker. You probably have to get him a little bit more involved. And I think Kyle even mentioned that they probably needed to get him some more touches in that second half. Also, we need some Keithy. Keithy, I think he had, what did he have? How many catches did he
He ended up with four.
Four catches.
But remember, I think two or three of those came in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Late.
I think he needs to be a little more involved. And I think, you know that they're going to be in Bentley's ear. And they can't have mistakes. Like, I mean, he had both of his interceptions, by the way, came on. I believe they were both on fourth downs. And you can't just throw it up for grabs. You can't do that in college football. You might have been able to get away with that in high school, but you cannot throw those up for grabs. And that's kind of what he did in those. He just kind of threw those up for grabs.
So Utah definitely has their hands full getting ready for Washington tomorrow. I am excited about this game. I do think that Washington is a very difficult team to play against. They are in Seattle. They don't have that entire place packed, which takes away some of the advantage. But I'm telling you, there's still plenty of advantage having to get on a plane, go through protocol, and get yourself into Seattle, be held up in your rooms. It's going to be difficult for Utah tomorrow.
What's your biggest question? Real quick, sorry. What's your biggest question mark on with Utah? Because another thing that I thought about is the pass protection. That's got to be like possibly number one.
Well, the biggest question right now is what the hell happened to that Utah offensive line in game one?
Right.
That's the biggest question. When we go back to the meeting room and we're trying to figure out how to advance and where to improve, we start at one position group. It starts with Jim Harding, the offensive line coach. It starts with those five players up front and their two alternates, their two rotators. That's exactly where it starts. And I go to those guys and I tell them, I'm extremely disappointed in the way you played, because they should be. I went back and watched, Lloyd. The physicality and the hustle was not there for that offensive front. And I know that Kyle Whittingham is not going to have any sympathy for them. He's not going to hold anything back. He's going to unleash, because that was the position group I feel like he felt he could rely on. And it let him down. So my guess is those guys are getting an earful. Utah, Washington, kicking off at 5:30. Again, we'll have your pregame coverage at 4:30. Frank Dolce and I will get you ready for this Utah-Washington game coming up tomorrow. And we will set this thing up, give you some more details. We'll also have some guests and get you ready there. Jay Hill joins us here in about 10 minutes. Sorry, Jay Hill will not join us today. He has got himself caught up in some work. So we will hear from the play-by-play voice of the Washington Huskies coming up at 11 o'clock. What you may have missed coming up next.
Let's go! The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Derek Favors with us. Derek, I'm sure you noticed Jazz fans are pretty excited about having you back with the team. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel great, honestly. I think the Jazz or Utah in general has one of the most loyal, diehard fan bases in basketball and sports or whatever. When I was with the Pelicans after I left, man, they just kept sending me messages and just telling me how much they appreciated me and how much they loved me and how much they wished me the best. And they was watching all the games that I was playing in, and they couldn't wait for me to come back and play in Utah. And they showed a lot of love, and that meant a lot to me when I was making my decision. I'm very appreciative and very blessed to be able to play in front of them again.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Football Fridays here on the Zone Sports Network, and coverage of Las Vegas Raiders game against the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday is brought to you by America First Credit Union, the exclusive home of the official Raiders debit card. Same great features and benefits, now with silver and black. Learn more at americafirst.com/Raiders. What you may have missed, BYU men's basketball has now a couple of games under their belt. Going back to Wednesday evening, got a win over Westminster. And then last night, I sat down for some Thanksgiving basketball, was able to catch BYU beating up on New Orleans, the Privateers, in one of the more ugly games I think I've watched in men's basketball in a long time. 51 collective personal fouls between the two teams called last night. It just destroys the enjoyability of a game, and it destroys the flow, the way that a team can play, the way the team gets out in transition, the way the team sets up. It felt like every other possession, there was a whistle, and it was absolutely driving me nuts. It was driving Mark Pope nuts as well. He said after the game, he said, it's super frustrating. This game of basketball can be so frustrating. It was hard to get into the flow of the game because of the whistle. It was just a mountain of frustration. I told the guys at the 8-minute media timeout, that a lot of times what you're actually competing against is frustration. And I thought the guys did a really nice job of managing it. And I do feel the same. BYU kind of came around at that point. In the second half, they really played much better. Alex Barcelo, he ended up with 19 points. Richard Harward came off the bench and had a double-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds. I wanted to mention that there were two guys that actually stood out to me. One was Kobe Lee, big man down low with some great footwork, some scoring ability. He ended up with 12 points. And then the other was Caleb Lohner. And I know that there was a lot of – that was a publicized move with Caleb Lohner, who had committed to the University of Utah, decommitted, and ended up at BYU. And offensively, I think Caleb is going to continue to improve. But what I was really impressed with Caleb was his work ethic and his hustle off the boards. You could tell that he's got an energy level and a drive and a desire to play the game.
Yeah, what did he have, 9 rebounds in 12 minutes?
I think it was it 12 minutes? I know it was 9 rebounds.
Yeah, 12 minutes play and, yes, 9 rebounds, 4 offensive. Which you'd love to see, and 5 defensive.
Well, Caleb Lohner got more time on the court because of a pretty nasty knee injury from Gavin Baxter, and I hope that Gavin is okay, because now you've got Matt Harms, who's the transfer, 7'3" grad transfer, that's an absolute beast. He's in a boot. He was on the sideline, and I don't know how long he's going to be out. And then you lose one of your forwards in Gavin Baxter. But luckily, you've got Caleb Lohner, and I think that that goes to show why Mark Pope was just extended all the way out to 2027, because he was able to build depth here. I mean, a lot of depth. because you're without Matt Harms and you're without Gavin Baxter. Well, let me introduce you to Kobe Lee, and let me show you what Caleb Lohner can do. So I was really thrilled with the depth of the team and then them getting a couple of wins. And, you know, we were talking about other things that are set up for this weekend. BYU hosts Utah Valley University tomorrow. That'll be at the Marriott Center. That's going to be another fun game to watch. UVU at the Marriott Center against BYU. So we'll get a third test here right out of the gates from this BYU basketball team. But they currently sit at 2-0 with a couple of solid wins over the last two nights. I'm here at Built Bar with Brenna, hanging out, talking some amazing chocolate protein bars. You know, Brenna, I think one of the things that makes these bars so incredible is that it's real milk chocolate on the bar.
Oh, for sure. Because then it's not that chalky, like, fake imitation chocolate that just, like, sticks to your teeth and is horrible.
Yeah, gritty.
Yeah, gritty. And I love that the protein texture is smooth. It's not, like, cardboard or super chalky. Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites.
Well, these Built Bars are incredible. And it really comes down to the flavor of the Built Bar. I know the textures are great. They are. And the textures definitely add to the flavor.
Yeah.
But these Built Bars are incredible. And there are two Built Bars that are being released right now that you can take advantage of for Black Friday. So you've got the white chocolate cookies and cream, which I don't know. Do I need to talk to Nick about keeping this on the Built Bar list forever?
Right.
This can't go away.
Right. Like, it's too good.
This is like the McRib. Like, you can't take the McRib from people for a period of time. The chocolate cookies and cream, the white chocolate cookies and cream, is the best Built Bar I've tasted.
Yeah.
And I've tasted a lot. I tasted the...
Because there's 18 to choose from, which is also crazy from a protein bar to have that many flavors.
That and is then, the variety like that.
Yes.
But each of them with that creamy, chewy middle.
Yeah, it's insane.
So the flavors are incredible. But, Brenna, tell us about this Black Friday opportunity that everybody has right now.
Oh, the Black Friday deal. So you can, if you have already tried Built Bar and love your Built Bars, they have two new flavors, white chocolate cookies and cream and white chocolate salted caramel, which, I mean, come on, delicious. And then with any order, they're going to get two free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased. So it's incredible. They're getting also 25% off that order.
So 25% off the order for Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to get an additional discount by using promo code ZONE?
Yep. They're going to hook you guys up for sure with an extra discount on top of the Black Friday discount, on top of the two free candy cane brownie bars. And if you want to try the white chocolate cookies and cream, you definitely got to get one.
I'm telling you right now, and I'm being totally serious, I love Built Bar. And up until that moment, the cookies and cream, just the chocolate dipped cookies and cream, was my favorite.
Yeah.
But the white chocolate dipped cookies and cream has become my favorite Built Bar. Get yourself a box of those white chocolate cookies and cream. You're going to get that extra candy cane brownie, those two candy cane brownies, and you're going to love those bars. And you're going to get the 25% off for Black Friday and the extra discount for using promo code ZONE. Go to BuiltBar.com right now and get this Black Friday deal taken care of. That's BuiltBar.com using promo code ZONE. Thanks, Brenna. More Hanson Scotty coming up.